welcome to another edition of the Frotcast. We are live from the Frot Quarters in San Francisco. Unfortunately, we're a man down this week, but this is Ben here to rape your ears. We do have your blogger extraordinaire, Vince.
I'm standing on Brett's shoulders to mimic what it would be like if Brendan were still here.
Well, and then I'm on Vince's shoulders, which would truly mimic what it would be like. And Brett is here.
Boom.
Boom. We'll have a fun show. We actually got an email from a listener and fan of the Frotcast and a fan of Film Drunk who wants to be an intern. The only person who even inquired about it, so the rest of you bastards that are saying, hey, wait, I want to intern. Too late.
Too late. We got a bit tonight. It's called Who Wants to Be an Intern? And we're going to interview him, and we'll see what his likes and dislikes are, what you know, what his turn-ons, what his measurements are, how bulgy he is. It's gonna play a major factor.
How big is the bulge? That's the next segment. Vince did some stand-up over the weekend, and Brett saw him, so he's going to critique him. Vince also saw a newly buffed Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
We actually saw some movies. I saw a movie for the first time in months. I saw Source Code.
I saw two movies today.
Wow. How many of those were porn related?
None.
Wow. So that's, you saw two movies outside
of
watching porn?
It's a weird day. It's like Freaky Friday, but not.
But Freaky Wednesday.
Yeah.
I don't remember if
I didn't shit my pants at all.
I think the Freaky Friday poster should just be Jamie Lee Curtis with like her hermaphrodite genitals, just like Freaky Friday, boom. Is it a penis?
I don't know. It's freaky though. I don't think
she's actually a hermaphrodite, but that's like the most pervasive rumor out there.
We talked about this, didn't we?
What? No.
Oh, someone in my office is friends with her personal assistant, and apparently she's got lady parts on the outside but no uterus on the inside.
Yeah, like she's XY or whatever.
She just doesn't have lady reproductive organs.
Yeah,
really?
She's got the vag but no guts. Allegedly.
So you could come all up in there and you don't have to worry about nothing.
Yeah, forever.
Yeah.
Whee!
At what point do you feel weird that, like, you know, embarrassed that you're having sex with a dude? I mean, just the chromosome with like full lady parts, I feel like would be fine. But for some reason, like transgender, where they used to have a penis and now it doesn't.
Yeah, but that's a little different.
I think you need a natural vagina.
Yeah, which Jamie Lee Curtis does have.
Although, I mean, if it's unnatural, it might be like shallower and thus better.
How would shallow vagina be good?
Yeah, explain yourself.
That's like having a. Because
you
like,
could feel
it's
huge.
Like a, it's like a backyard fucking inflatable pool. How is that fun?
You could feel huge. You're like,
just set your lawn chair up in there and just drinking your tall boys, hanging out. I'm the biggest man in the pool.
Well, look, if they have a condition called micropenis, that leads me to believe that there's a similar condition.
Macrovagina?
Micro-vagina.
Macrovagina would imply a gigantic vagina.
Well, I know. That's what I thought.
Brett has macropenis. It's a terrible affliction. Makes the rest of us feel bad.
It's just constantly like putting images with text underneath and changing the text. Wow, you like that?
Oh, web designer humor.
So, Vince.
Hey, what do you think about if you put a picture of your penis and then you put a caption on it and, hey, it says like, goes to the store. And then on the bottom of the image, it says like, knocks cantaloupes off the shelf. It's, hey, I made macro penis.
My name's Macro.
Hey.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
You did some stand-up over the weekend.
I did, indeed.
So wait, for those of you that don't know out there, Vince was sort of on the amateur stand-up circuit here in San Francisco.
Four years ago.
Yeah, years ago.
Yeah, before I went.
And got a scarf degree.
Before I spent like six figures.
It's cold here. I'm going to need an ascot. Hold on. Let me move to New York.
Before I spent six figures on my degree that got my book proposal rejected today.
Oh. He did tell us about this. Oh. This is like an emotional coming out.
Well, it was sort of a pre-rejection. It wasn't like an official.
Is that like a pre-ejaculation?
Is there just like
it was more like I submitted it to an agent. He's like, yeah, it's really well written and good, but you're not Snooki, so this is going to be a tough sell.
You're not Snooki, Vince, are you?
Mm-hmm.
Because Snooki's hot right now. Do you know who that is?
She is pretty. Dude, did you hear that she got paid $32,000 to speak at Rutgers, and Toni Morrison, who's like a Pulitzer winner, got paid $30,000?
Yeah, but who would go see him? And everyone wants to see Snooki.
Her.
because she's sort of like a little...
Sorry, yeah. I'm not like a huge Toni Morrison fan either myself, but that's funny to me, though, that she got paid more than a Pulitzer winner.
Well, college kids, although they're in college for these learnings of things, they want to go see Snooki say stupid stuff.
Yes. Let this be a lesson to all the listeners out there. If you're considering getting an MFA in creative writing, I would sooner tell you to get a degree in the steam engine. or maybe marble chiseling or something equally outdated. It's not really
wheel invention.
It's not a top skill in today's job market. I hate to break it.
Mammoth hunting.
Blacksmithing.
Yeah.
Hey.
So, what were we talking about? Stand-up. Yeah, so 4 years ago, I'd been doing... started when I was like 25 or 26, maybe did comedy for like a year. Never really, always like at open mics and sort of
but you've,
amateur
you've done
venues.
The waiting around to try to get like 3 minutes at a laundromat.
Oh, yes.
Thing.
Yeah, I still do. And so I sort of quit doing that for a few years once I got film drunk, and then I went to pointless writing school, as I like to call it. And I sort of stopped. And then now I decided to start up again, and I'm sort of enjoying it.
Wow.
I should have been doing this for the last 2 years instead of spending a lot of money to go to school.
Well, you wouldn't have had that amazing ascot with your name on it, though.
That's true. I would not have gotten to say that I was in the same room and almost met James Franco a couple times.
Yeah, you would never have gotten to say that.
Yeah.
You would never have been able to say that you got to choke out another jiu-jitsu participant with your ascot.
That's true.
Wait, when you were in...
He smashed my carnation, though.
Well, that's why he deserved to get beat up.
He was not being a gentleman.
No.
When you're
we drum them out of the jiu-jitsu circle with finger snaps when they do that.
When you were in Circle Crit with James Franco, was your only critique James Franco?
And I never had a class with him, so we never had. We never called it Circle Crit either. That's super lame.
Yeah, it's not like Columbia would ever call it Circle Crit.
No.
Or that you've called it that multiple occasions.
No, never. No, we didn't call it Circle Crit.
Let's go to Circle Crit.
I'm not lying to you guys.
So you've done a couple stand-up. Is this the first?
This is my third. I'd been to 3 open mics since I started doing it again. So basically like 3 open mics in the last 3 years, 3.5 years. But
they're all basically within the last couple days or a couple weeks.
A couple weeks, yeah. And then some guy invited me on his showcase this Sunday.
Showcase?
Yeah. That was
nice.
Fun. Yeah.
Nailed it.
It was good. It was fun. I mean, I brought we had like 10 of our friends come.
They made us pay.
Sorry about that. I should have told you guys that beforehand.
That was not in the email from
Vince. It wasn't. I didn't think about it. And so it's like I killed, but you know, it's like talking to your friends. So
wasn't I funny?
Yeah. Aren't I great people that I just emailed?
All right. So he's back. Good. He's back on the circuit. Mm-hmm. If you happen to be at a laundromat in San Francisco, you may see Vince stand up.
I had my audio recorder and I was going to record it, and then I actually forgot to press record before I went up there.
Turns out
I had it in my fucking pocket.
Turns out you do need to push that.
Yeah,
that's an important part of recording.
So I've been working on my stand up chop.
Ben, the audio engineer's tip of the day: turn on the recorder.
Yeah,
no,
don't edit. Don't edit. Just
don't
turn
edit.
It on.
Turn
Here
it
I
on.
Was working on my mic skills, but I had no idea that I should have been working on. My
recording
sound
skills.
Recording.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we got a couple.
And then you saw Chappelle.
Oh, yes, I did.
He's buff.
He is buff.
Is he like, he's not as big as like Dr. Dre buff, though.
What does Dr. Dre look like? I never thought of
gigantic.
Dr. Dre.
Well, like
buff.
In the Dr. Pepper commercial? He doesn't look that big there. I could take Dr. Dre these days.
No, more like he was on a MTV Music Awards and he was gigantic.
I don't know how tall Dave Chappelle is. I would say, I would assume 6 feet, yeah. So, I mean, he just looked like bulky and like pretty ripped. Like, he had like a big veiny biceps.
Because he's always been just overly skinny, like beanpole skinny.
Yeah, like Chris Rock, like disturbingly, I'm going to play crackheads in New Jack City style skinny. And he does not look skinny anymore. He's looked about like 195. He was strangely buff. And he was pretty damn funny, which is, people think that buff comedians can't be funny, but apparently Dave Chappelle proved us all wrong.
He broke the mold.
He did, with his biceps.
I have seen him several times, and I read your review, critique, whatever you want to call it, on Film Drunk. And that's usually what I feel like, but I never leave there disappointed.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't leave there disappointed at all either.
I do leave there always thinking, like, if he did tighten it up and cut it down by 15, 20 minutes, I would leave there even happier, which is sort of weird because you feel like the longer sort of the better.
Yeah.
But it gets a little long. You're buying more expensive drinks and yeah. It's not...
The audience is getting drunker and more annoying as the show goes on.
Just yelling stupid things.
Oh my God. Like, I don't know what it is about. I guess maybe it's just the fact that like everybody likes Chappelle. It like this appeal sort of goes across genres, so you don't get
across every demographic.
So you get a lot of like weirdos and retards.
Well,
in
he also welcomes all the yelling mm-hmm. and deals with it better than I haven't seen a lot of That's comedy, true. But he deals with it so well.
We had the thing at the UCSD. Apparently he's used to people like heckling him and he has set comebacks and someone in the middle of his set screams "Do Yoda," and it tripped him up so bad. He's like, I usually know how to respond to these things, but I don't even know what the fuck that means.
Yeah. Well, this was different. I mean, I remember seeing him when we saw him back in the day and it was much more of, like a comedy special type of set. I think he had like writers back then. I mean, that was he definitely did like an incredible.
It was rehearsed for an HBO special.
Yeah, and it was like an incredible, you know, hour
like a tight,
10
tightened up,
pretty tight. This time, I mean, he went on there and like the first thing out of his mouth was like, I don't know what I'm going to do for the next hour. I don't have any material.
I've seen him a couple times, and I think that's sort of part of his thing, though.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's definitely part of his appeal. Just the fact that, I mean. I don't think he was faking it. Like, I think he legitimately went up there without any planned stuff, and maybe, like, if he remembered a bit, he would do it. But that's also part of, like, it makes it funnier when it feels like he's not, like, he makes you feel awkward and uncomfortable for a period of time, and then when he does get to something funny, you're so desperate to hear something funny that it makes it, like, so much more amazing when he does get to, like, a nice tight bit.
That was actually the main problem I had with your bit, which was really good, right? I mean, Vince actually at this point sounds like he's been doing it for a while, where he didn't sound like that before. Where I mean, the earlier stuff was awkward, genuinely awkward, deeply unsettlingly awkward.
I'm a pretty awkward guy.
Yeah.
Well, I think part of it is that I don't have any other friends that have done stand-up, so I do think part of it is watching your friend hold a microphone and try to be funny. Mm-hmm. There's something different about that than just like trying to be a jackass and make your friends laugh.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, this one, you're near, this is what I do for a living type level. Right. But you didn't really give the pacing to let the audience cool down. Like a lot of mm-hmm. your stuff's kind of edgy and would be better served if you let them get a little awkward about the rape yeah. jokes.
It's weird because it's like the comedians that are good have the skill of letting the audience squirm a little bit before they get to something funny, which is completely counter to the impulse which makes you do stand-up, which is being really fucking needy and being like, I want everybody to like me so bad, and I just want them to laugh at the thing.
Don't they think I'm funny?
Tell me I'm good, you guys, please. And so it's like completely different than what actually makes you do it in the first place.
Although I have seen comedians that were really, really bad. And so any pause was like, oh, make it end.
Yeah. Or any silence was bad or was good?
Bad. Just yeah. anything. Well, it was just bad joke, and then the silence was...
You could just feel the tension.
Yeah,
the
you could.
This was surprisingly good. I was expecting it to be pretty bad, because stand-up in San Francisco is kind of lacking.
Was this at a laundromat, yes or no?
No, it was at
a... It was started because of the laundromat.
It did, yes. It was at an
Irish... You
had
a connection through the laundromat?
It was at an Irish bar, and the bartender is like old school Irishman, and he did not seem too keen on us...
None too pleased about the comedy show.
...types being in his bar.
Get out to my bar!
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing?
I got a drink, and he's like, are you on next? I'm like, oh, God, no. Fuck this. Fuck this bullshit. Please don't pee in my drink.
He at one point he was asking me, like the host was standing off to the side, and he's like, what do you call the host? He was asking me like what his name was, but you know, in England and Ireland they'll say like what is he called or what, you know how they say what is he called, or I am called Stephen or something like that, and he's like, what is the host called? And I was like, oh, that's Juan. And then the guy, one of the other comedians sitting next to me, heard that, and he was like kind of laughing, and he's like, well, did you just ask what is he called? And the bartender just looks him square in the face, deadpan. He's like, something funny about that, mate.
Not even a question, just a statement.
Yeah, and I was like, holy shit, I'm backing away slowly.
That is awesome whenever there's an older guy that is turns very serious very fast.
Yeah, especially when he's like kind of tall and has that very Irish look.
Like, I don't fuck around look.
Yeah. Well, also, this bar, to give you a little more context, has, like, IRA shit all over the walls and flags and stuff. So, they were, you know, we're warning each other before we go on. Maybe don't do any, like, Irish jokes. Probably not going to go over well here.
Yeah, it's just FYI. Let's keep those out. They don't...
Maybe make fun of the English.
Scottish are fine. Scottish are fair game.
Yeah. All that's good. But do not...
Let's leave that alone tonight. Just to be on the safe side.
Don't mention the troubles. So that was fun. Brendan was there also. And one of our other friends got drunk and split his pants.
He deserved that. He was way out of his league as far as separation between feet go.
Yeah.
He was there. He's like, was he holding the pose for the whole time?
No, I think he ripped his pants before he did that.
Before he did that.
Yeah.
And then he just let it go.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword when I get invited to like a comedian showcase because, you know, I'll bring like 10 friends, but one of them is going to ruin the show at one point because they're going to get drunk.
Sometimes it's Ben.
Sometimes it's Ben. No, Ben didn't ruin it.
Sometimes it's the other comedians.
Yeah, well, that's always going to happen.
Yeah, well, you bring 90% of the audience, but when you're not on, someone is definitely getting too drunk and...
Yeah, and being rowdy. And
While Dave Chappelle can handle any sort of heckling... Most comedians don't know what to do.
Well, also, it's a little different when you're in a big comedy club than it is when you're at like a bar and there's 10 people in it. And I mean, you're there, you're thinking, oh, there's a person on stage with a microphone. I can just talk to my friends and no one's going to hear it. Meanwhile, everybody hears it. You can't yell at your friend across the bar while there's someone talking on stage. Kind of distracting.
God, you haven't lived till you've seen comedians interact with each other, though, like outside.
Oh,
of
God, it's a nightmare.
I love that. It's like, oh, let's just layer our social inequities. Just stack them up.
Yes. All right. Well, so we got a few emails this week too. Few more Danzig stories. Brett and Ben claim not to like them as much.
Whoa, we didn't say we didn't like them.
Whoa.
All right.
Easy about the words in the mouth.
Whoa. All right. We're already the most hated broadcasters.
Well, I have an email.
That would be an interesting contest.
It's going to be me. Persona non grata.
Not true. Feck, who always emails us every week,
Feck
which
does
I appreciate.
Love Brett.
Yeah,
he does. I
pander pretty hard. Let's face it.
Well, this is the email from Feckler, which I enjoyed a lot. This was from a few weeks ago. And he says, now, even though I am Brett's biggest fan,
woot,
for the first time ever, I really identified with Ben the Ferengi.
Ferengi is a bad thing,
I
right?
love that he calls you Ben.
It's like the space Jew.
It really is.
They're the guys with the really big ears.
Yeah. Instead of
the covetous Ferengi.
The space Jew.
When Ben detailed the work/dying on the inside a little aspect of corporate America, I felt the genuine moment of solidarity. You see, once you die enough on the inside, you find that impersonating a Klingon is the least of your worries. Kapla, Ben.
Kapla Feck.
This is also why I love Feck. This last paragraph pretty much sums it up. Finally, and only Lince really knows about this, but I will write a story, Limerick, about Killy the Kid, and then in parentheses, King of Klingon Cowboys, shooting up Sundance in a revenge fantasy melodrama if one of you will read it like an angry Chinese lady. In fact, if you had any idea how much I had developed Killy since I got blasted and wrote the story about the blind rodeo clown, you might finally start blocking my emails. So, yeah, that just warms my heart when Feckler writes us nonsensical emails like that. Killy the Kid, Klingon Cowboy.
I like that he includes a lot of Star Trek references that I sort of know a tiny bit. Like, I've seen Star Trek, but I don't get the in-detailed references.
It's funny because I don't think of myself as, like, a Star Trek nerd, but then I realized that it was just one of those things that I had on in the background. It doesn't really happen anymore with DVRs, but back when we were younger, like when I was in high school, there was some stuff that you would just put on the TV and it was on because that was just what was on TV at that time. So I'm pretty sure I've seen almost every episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah. And my dad was a big fan, so I definitely saw a lot of it. So I know who the Klingons are and the Romulans and the Ferengis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know.
Tasha Yar. Oh. We talked. She came up.
Why not?
Weeks ago.
Of course.
The one movie where Picard goes back in time. Well, he doesn't go back in time, but there was that accident.
Generations.
Where Captain Kirk got sent to the Nexus, and then Picard had to go find him in the Nexus.
What's his face from the fucking the blonde weird British sting looking fucker?
Oh yeah, what the hell is that guy's name?
Mick something.
What is it?
Fuck, this is what an intern would help with.
Yeah, I know. He should just be feeding us this stuff. That was a good movie, though. There was Data who had the emotion chip, and he was swearing. And Enterprise was blowing stuff up. That was a good-ass movie. It was a good-ass movie, dog.
It was good.
I like that movie.
We did get another email about corporate life from...
I wrote that one down, too.
Okay.
I did mark that one.
All right.
Yeah. Fraudcasters. I enjoyed hearing about Brendan's experience with corporate team building
activities.
Can't tell us
that's
apart.
That's true. The company I worked for had an outing a few months ago to announce new characteristics, a.k.a. the buzzwords every manager will use in every meeting. The fun started when everybody had to ride buses down to the event, even if it was out of your way to come into the office. Then we had to hear about the characteristics and what they meant to the company's executive team. To top off the event, they closed the outing by providing Kool-Aid for everyone to drink. I shit you not. I hope you guys enjoyed the story. Fraud on, gang. Also, you guys, please send us all of your horrible soul-killing corporate stories because that is my favorite. I love those.
That's the only way to refill the holes that have been left in my soul.
Yes.
To realize.
So do you guys realize there's companies out there that provide these soul-killing things? We did one that was in my neighborhood, which was a little uncomfortable for me because they're like, act like a retard in front of strangers. I'm like, these people aren't strangers. They see me every fucking day. But there's entire companies set up specifically around designing soul-crushing community.
Yeah.
What are they just
like shame, that's an actual job.
Shame providing.
Yeah, no, it's just like dance like a retard in front of an old lady. Try not to get beat up.
So my question is...
You get points for this, and the points aren't worth anything.
My question is always, do the other corporate people that seem to enjoy it because they think it helps their job, or is there some genuine enjoyment going on?
Did you see people enjoying it? Everyone seemed like they were pretty miserable until we got wasted.
There wasn't.
Isn't that just normal life, though?
Wow.
Well, I mean, for this one, for example, I love that they make you show up to the office just to ride a bus together, yeah. Even if it's totally out of the way.
Drive from Palo Alto to San Francisco so we can take a bus back down
Palo
to
Alto.
San Jose.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I actually had a little corporate meeting as well where we... It wasn't actually Kool-Aid, but it was like orange drink, and they said, it's like Kool-Aid. Drink it up.
This is the blood of the beast.
And
drink upon it.
I did not want to stop vomiting for hours.
Yeah.
So there's just corporate shaming entities that figure out the worst ways to embarrass.
Yeah, because it's team building if you're all embarrassed together, right? That's the understood, like, underlying piece of the puzzle, right? Is that if you're all unhappy together, you'll bond as a team.
Well,
so
see, this,
overnight
the shame,
shit,
the shame director works underneath the VP of soul crushing.
Oh, God. We should totally set up the shadow corporation.
At the end of the day, the VP...
I've been really working hard for Soul Crusher Senior.
Shame Co.
Soup to nuts, the VP of Soul Crushing directs the shame director.
Look, there's been a real, real big tiff between the acronym director and the buzzword communicator.
Man, the first time I got an email that asked me to do something by EOD, I was so confused, and I had to ask someone, and they told me, and they're like, end of day, and I'm like, okay, so the first word is three letters. There's eight letters in this phrase, and you got it down to three. You saved five letters!
Hey, you know how much time it takes to type those five extra letters? No, but it's...
They're hard letters, too.
It's worth it to not get strangled
by
someone.
But it is seven... characters essentially because
you
have two spaces.
It's like you've never worked in an office. What the fuck?
Do you not tweet anything?
It's not a newspaper. You don't have to save inches, man. Just type it out.
Oh God, fucking three news stories in my feed today were about how Facebook friends a corporation or something. I am so fucking glad newspapers are dying, just so that tagline doesn't have to get fucking shoved
in my
face anymore. Like Facebook friends blank as a headline. It's the got milk of our generation.
Oh, friends as a verb, you mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Facebook friends.
Facebook
such
friends
and such.
Obama.
Yeah, okay.
Or Obama friends Facebook. It works either way. Fuck you.
Well, now it's like going exponentially downhill because
They're panicking.
Well, not only are they panicking, but they don't have the money to keep the good people around. And then one of the benefits of the newspaper is that they have that they had more resources and that they could afford people to go fact check and do.
That tends to be the main defense when you listen to NPR or something, where they're like, "Oh, well, traditional journalism, you know, it's all about the extended story, right?"
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really happening as
well. Well, the reason they're dying is because they've been trying to compete with TV by doing stuff like TV instead of, utilizing the strengths of their medium. They're like trying to copy another medium. It's the same stupid shit that they do for everything, where they don't respect how the audience is experiencing something. Like blogs.
The blueprint for how to be obsolete.
Yeah, well, blogs and newspapers both do it back and forth. Where a blog, the point of, the way people experience it is they're at work. It's immediate. It's short. Like, you're reading it while people are looking over your shoulder. The way that you experience blog fundamentally is different than the way you experience a newspaper. So when people write these blogs and they start it and they're thinking, oh, it's going to be just like a newspaper, and they try to just rip that format from something else and apply it to a medium where it doesn't apply, it doesn't really work. And then newspapers do the same thing where they write a two-paragraph story a day after something happens that we've already heard the story, and like, oh yeah, we want it to be short like blogs are. It's like, no.
Dude, when they decided that editing was a thing with film, where everything prior to that had just been a camera in a set position filming a stage, mm-hmm. they're like, well, why don't we just, move the camera closer? And it just fucking melted everyone's eyeballs out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of where we stand. I mean, working in gaming, it's horrible because they're constantly trying to be a movie. And mm-hmm. that fundamentally misunderstands what's going on.
And
right?
the movies are doing the reverse.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can learn stuff from
or
other
a comic
mediums.
Book.
Yeah,
they're trying to be a comic book too.
Well, they're just trying to apply something from another medium and just paste it over without recognizing how the audience of that other medium experiences it.
Can I get a geek sidebar for a second?
Sure.
So I like comic books. I like parts of comic books, but they're a horrible medium, right? They're entirely built around sustaining a story that had no meat on it, right?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, let's just drag this out for, 30 years without ever resolving anything or really concluding anything. So, I mean, there's stuff on the sides that's really good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Scott Pilgrim and shit, like Demo, and there's interesting short form stuff that's going on, but the fundamental current there is bad. And I love that Marvel's got their own studio doing shit like Thor. They're like, why don't we just bring the never ever telling a full story into movies?
Yeah.
It seems like they're always concluding it, but why would you ever have to conclude it? Let's just say to be continued every time forever.
Yeah. Well, it's like when people assume that some aspect of a medium is a good thing. Well, when people are complaining about traditional journalism dying out, they totally fail to recognize that there were some bad things about traditional journalism, too.
I mean, the stuff they bring up is valid. I just think it's overblown, right? It's, like, long-form journalism is awesome, but, I mean, it's hard to get that in any medium, right?
It's
sort of like boo fucking who. You thought your paper was, like, so much better. I feel like the newspaper sort of stood on this pedestal of we're just better because we've been around forever. Yeah. Instead of embracing, all right, how are people now? I mean, paper is going to be gone, not in a completely 100% sense, but you're not going to go. When was the last time you guys actually bought a physical newspaper? Yeah. I don't even know the last time I did it.
I enjoy them. I mean, I still buy them every now and then. But I think another thing is the idea of objectivity is great, but it also rests on the idea that there's some authority that's just in a suit that has no personality at home and that he's going to deliver the news to you with no bias. And now that people have like Facebook pages and Twitter and you can get to know the people that are bringing your news on a personal level, it makes it so much harder to maintain this like Bryant Gumbel idea of this guy who doesn't really have an opinion about anything, but he's really smart and he's going to tell you perfectly unbiased. That person doesn't exist.
He was so much better on Gumbel to Gumbel.
I think the idea of objectivity at this point in culture is an immediately like red flagged situation, mm-hmm. right? If anyone's claiming to be objective, I mean, the only people you can trust are the people that say their opinions up front. Like, I kind of like The Economist, where they're just like, look, we're generally liberal on social shit. We believe in the free market, blah, blah, blah. Like, here's up front where we're coming from. Weigh that against what you believe in. That's the only way to be in any way trustworthy in my eyes. Because anytime you're claiming objectivity, you're just like, hey, we're going to play the system until you believe us.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
We're hoping disguising your own perspective.
We're hoping we're smarter than you. Is basically what they're telling you. Every time you turn on like a fair and balanced thing, they're like, we just hope that we're just that little bit more intelligent than you are. Fuck you, simpleton.
You can't tell what our point of view is.
Yeah, which is insulting.
Yeah. So that was
funny.
That was very deep. Wow. Let's do some Danzig stories. What do you think about that? You
don't even care. Mother.
it's just that, you know.
Oh God, I gotta play this. This is the worst thing I've ever heard.
No, it wasn't that bad.
What?
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad?
It wasn't that bad. I don't know why you're so enraged by this. It wasn't
it's
a good
terrible.
Cover.
Oh. The one guy was holding a damn tuba.
I just
It's just like the ultimate hipster thing where we got one chick with a stupid haircut. All right, so the backstory on this is the AV Club does this series where they get like cool hipster bands to cover famous songs.
These people are also the Daily Deal on Amazon today.
Oh, really?
I recognize the name because of your rage.
And so some of the film drunkards sent me this video of these like uber hipsters covering Mother by Danzig. And they're called Y Oak. I didn't know about them. Apparently, there's some Baltimore indie darlings, supposedly.
I want to like the Misfits, but they go into the major key bullshit.
I love
awful.
That.
Oh, it's so close to being pop.
I know.
Vince likes pop.
I like
pop. Vince likes pop.
I like the Beach Boys and things that sound good.
God, fucking Beach Boys.
They might be giants. That's all major chord shit, too, mostly.
Yeah, but it's weird enough to where I can get into it.
So the first minute of the video is them putting stupid tattoos on themselves in Sharpie. And then here's the song.
Don't play the whole thing. Just get the
video. No, like 30 seconds. Hooded sweatshirt with the hood on. It's sleeveless.
Yeah.
Way. There's a guy back there he's moving up and down, not playing a tuba.
That's not even a tuba. That's like a French horn.
It's definitely not a French horn.
It's definitely not a tuba.
It's something in between a tuba and a French horn.
It's a French tuba.
It's like a...
Where the fuck is our intern?
It's a hipster horn. This horn's so cool, probably haven't even heard about it yet.
It only blows irony and minds.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that music. I'm sorry.
It's not
It's that, awful!
It's not that offensive. It's not great.
They did have a hipster horn, Brett.
They had a hipster
horn.
Well,
he wasn't playing it. That makes it kind of bad.
It would have been worse if they were wearing if they were wearing glasses with no lenses.
I just imagine the hipster not knowing how to play it. So every time he just has to stand there holding it. Every time he plays it,
you think
it goes
they wouldn't
honk.
Do that? They would.
Honk!
They would totally have a guy in a band that just his job is to stand back there holding a horn and not playing it. Yeah.
The glasses,
look,
glasses.
Bill, could you just not touch the fucking horn? All right, we let you in the band. I think that's enough.
All right, so a few quick Danzig stories. This one's from a while back that I forgot to read. This was Polly's that I couldn't find in my email. When I worked at the comic book shop back in high school, Danzig would literally come in a trench coat and dark glasses with the collar pulled up and dramatically lower his voice when he'd go, hey, I have some stuff on hold.
You can get lower than that.
Okay, sorry. He would come in a trench coat and dark glasses with the collar pulled up and dramatically lower his voice when he'd go, hey, I have some stuff on hold under Danzig, and then stare you in the face to see if it was registering. We put up a big picture of the Hulk screaming with a dialogue bubble of, we are 138 behind the register, and he stopped coming in. Come on, that's a good story.
It's not a bad story. It's just,
dude, Danzig coming in
a just
disguise.
I just wish they wouldn't switch so fast into the major key shit. Like a third of the
what does that have to do
like
with the email stories about Danzig?
Anything.
hate you.
Nathan Explosion is sort of supposedly based a little bit on Danzig. Is that correct or no?
What is?
Nathan Explosion from...
Oh, yeah, it totally seems like it.
Yeah.
What are beers right now?
Yeah, I want 100 beers right now. 100 of them.
Okay, another one. I put this on Film Drunk, but I'll read it anyway. The last time Danzig came through my city, he was being driven around town by a friend of a friend before and after his show. Danzig had him stop by a local bookstore, a quiet little mom-and-pop shop in the main shopping area of the city. When he walked into the shop, he stomped directly to the checkout counter and said, "Where's your true crime section?" The clerk told him that they didn't have a separate section for true crime novels, but that there are plenty mixed in with the horror and mystery. Danzig got irrationally pissed, surprise, surprise, and yelled, "That's fucking bullshit!" He stormed out of the shop and slammed the glass door behind him. When he got back into the van, the driver had to listen to Danzig's rant about the bookstore. His favorite quote was, "Somebody should burn that fucking place to the ground," all due to the lack of a true crime section.
I forgot to mention that on the stupid cover band website, there was a post by someone called Danzig that just said, "Why can't Danzig have a pile of bricks in his yard?" Which I kind of like.
I like that too.
Yes.
It was followed by a quote from him doing Aqua Teen, which was also good, that they were together.
Yeah.
Made my heart warm.
Yeah. Another Danzig story. I was told that in order for girls to party with the band, Danzig would make them write down the title of the most recent book they read. If he didn't approve of the book or the girl's choice, the party was over for said girl. I guess he enjoys the company of only the most literate and well-read metal sluts.
Well, but you don't know if it was just like really dumb books, maybe?
Well, a true crime, maybe?
Yeah, maybe if they were into true crime, who knows? You're assuming that he only likes a specific type of novel that implies intelligence.
That's true. And I have some Troma DVDs that Danzig would probably love.
Yes, that's all I'm saying. Let's not assume that it only has to be weird, avant-garde type novels.
That's true.
It could be anything.
Who knows?
We don't know.
Is true crime just a crime that actually happened?
And yes.
So like, it's like watching a 48-hour mystery?
Sometimes it's usually, if it's a book, it's a bigger story. So it's a lot of mafia stuff. It's a lot of like serial killer stuff. Yeah. So it would be a little more than a simple... murder and...
Well, don't ever assume a murder is simple, Ben.
I read one
There's always another story.
It's usually like mafia or a big crime story. So OJ, all the OJ stuff would be considered true crime.
Yeah. So I read one where a guy just went into like a maximum security prison and was just basically like interviewing the guys, what they did.
But are there
pretty interesting.
Are there a bunch of them of the same murder? Because there's only like so many interesting murders.
True crime was huge in the late 80s for some reason.
There's
true crime novels.
Ton of mafia stuff. A lot of mafia gang stuff. Yeah. I saw a movie.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about Source Code.
I saw Source Code.
How was the...
It was okay. I was hoping...
I've been inside the Source Code!
Let me out of the Source Code!
Was it British?
I don't know!
It doesn't matter.
I'm inside your Source Code!
It's been British for a while now, and I never really got that. I thought
Don't worry about it.
Is it part of the movie?
Tell me about the Queen's wedding!
Was it beautiful? It was lovely.
What kind of cake was I eating?
I don't like the chocolate cake. It gives me the gases.
I love the queen wedding or the prince wedding stuff because it just proves that British people are just as stupid as we are.
What do you mean? That they
care about the stupid prince and queen and their stupid wedding?
Oh, they care so much?
Yeah. It's insane.
They cared about it in Australia, and they're like fucking, 100 years removed at this point?
No, it's almost worse than us, because, I mean, at least Paris Hilton's retarded lifestyle is not funded by our tax dollars.
We also don't stop our whole country to watch her potentially get married.
Yeah. And how to put this... diplomatically.
Wow, it must be bad if you had to pause.
No, not really bad. I just don't think the princess is that hot. Everybody's making it out like she's...
Well, she's okay, but...
She's okay. I mean, if you're a prince, you could do better. That's all I'm saying.
He is like 21, and he's almost bald.
Yeah. I think he's... Isn't he like 29, 28,
Yeah, I don't know. He's
30?
Yeah, 27 or 28.
Ask the Churchill gene reasserting itself.
Yeah.
They're not related to the Churchills.
What?
They're all related over there.
They're German. I think they're ethnically German, aren't they? Or like half
Whoa,
German.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, the Hanovers are all Germans.
Who are the Hanovers?
Yeah, you know way too much
Isn't
about
that,
this.
All right, so the Diana side is British. Windsor, so what is her last name? Windsor. I know the Prince Charles is
bored.
Prince Charles's family is German, I believe.
I really couldn't care.
Sorry, I asked.
Continue.
Fuck.
Tell us about the source code.
Well, how much do you want me to spoil?
Spoil it all.
Spoil it all.
Spoil it all.
It's been out for a while.
All right. So
also, it looks
dumb. I think Lindy already spoiled the whole
thing. Burn it down. Oh yeah, yeah. He has to live in that other dude's body.
Yeah. So that,
yeah, Lindy ruined it. Go for broke, man.
I must have missed that one then because I don't remember her talking about it. Maybe I just sort of blacked out. But it was okay. It some of the elements did remind me a little bit of Moon, which yeah. Duncan Jones also directed.
I still haven't seen that. I rented it, and then I didn't get a chance to watch it.
I would
it.
Highly recommend Moon. Moon, was yeah. I thought, was really good. This was okay. It sort of was two movies simultaneously, where one was sort of him trying to figure out what's going on with his life and why won't they tell him anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is stuck in this sort of box, which you find out is a sort of figment of his brain still working. He's basically dead. They've tapped into his brain, and he, for some reason, they don't explain it, you just buy into it, he can go into this one guy's body. Mm-hmm. Because he matches up with sort of what they look like, and his brain synapses are yeah. similar. So he's able to go into this one guy's body. They quickly explain that the last 8 minutes of your life are somehow sort of, that's what you remember, and they can go continue to go into the last 8 minutes. But since it's sort of a parallel universe, in each of these ones, he doesn't quite affect the exact reality mm-hmm. of the world. So he saves the girl once, but she doesn't really get saved because it's sort of a parallel universe. So this world is sort of a figment of his imagination, and so he sort of...
But he bangs the girl, right? Does he get to bang the girl?
They don't show them. They don't show penetration.
Do they show dongs going in?
So eventually,
well, if they don't show penetration, how would you know that he banged her?
I don't.
It's all symbolic.
I cannot jerk off to symbolism.
So the one thing they don't explain is eventually he convinces them to sort of let him die, and then sort of time freezes for a second. They do one of those cool Watchmen move the camera, but everything else is frozen,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
A little played out at this point.
It was still was cool to see.
It's a cool effect.
And then
they feed him to the tree of life and then let it
yeah.
let
and then,
it go
and,
back
and
into
then
the...
Jake's,
you know they
Jake's
do that
elite.
With just like an assload of cameras?
Yeah. It takes... it's basically like a million photographs.
Yeah.
And Sweet. Then he sort of turns into this other guy. It's sort of like... So the movie is a combination of Quantum Leap and Groundhog Day and 12 Monkeys sort of all rolled into one. But they keep combining these other elements that are sort of like romantic with this romantic music. And
I just thought of a. I just thought of.
Oh, it tastes like you're drinking fucking chewing tobacco. I mean, yeah.
Sam Adams Scotch Ale, not the best.
Sorry.
I was going to say, we should just call it 12 Ground Monkeys.
Basically, that's what it was. So then at the end, he, instead of actually dying, he lives in this sort of parallel universe as this other guy. Which for me...
What happened to Parallel Universe guy, though? It's my question to Lindy, right?
Okay, so this created a lot more questions for me than answers.
Yeah.
So this other guy's a history teacher. So what is this? Jake Gyllenhaal now has to figure out how to be a history teacher?
Yeah, I don't know shit about history.
Like, this one time I was driving helicopters
in
Afghanistan.
Hey, you guys remember that train explosion? That's really all I know about history.
And so, yeah, so, he doesn't even know where he fucking lives.
How am I getting home?
Okay, and then so Jake Gyllenhaal has stubble, like he's got sort of a beard, but this other guy is cleanly shaven.
What happens when he shaves?
Yeah,
God,
that was another big story this week was Nick Cage getting arrested for domestic violence in New Orleans, and apparently the reason was he was arguing with his wife over which house was theirs. He was in New Orleans, and he was arguing over which house. He thought the house they were
like
in front of was theirs.
He bought multiple houses? Or like, no, that's the house you live in, bitch.
No, I mean, I'm assuming they're renting a house because they're in town shooting a movie. And he's like, this is our house. And she's like, that's not the house we rented.
That's not the house, Nicholas.
And then they got in a fight, and Dog the Bounty Hunter bailed him out for some reason.
Really?
Yes.
Dog was there.
Dog showed up.
He told him not to do ice and follow Jesus.
All I know is Nick Cage must be really broke because if I had any money at all, the first thing I would spend it on would be to not get a lecture from Dog the Bounty Hunter about Jesus.
Well, I think Nicolas Cage is well known for not just making
give
good
me
investments.
Just give me the mace, fucker. Just mace spray me, it right in my eyes.
Please. I'll take the injection. I'm done.
Lay it on me.
Give me the chair. Fuck.
Lay it on me.
Guilty.
End of story. Source code, okay, not great. And it left more questions than answered. Although the final twist was sort of cool. So they eventually show Jake Gyllenhaal, who's basically half a body and half an arm, and his skull is open, and they like have wires going into his brain. And so they sort of kill him. And
wait, because the train exploded? Is he back in the regular one?
No.
Oh, my God, I'm so bored.
Yeah. Well, so he eventually finds out.
Who is the queen and who is the prince in this story?
All right.
No, I kind of wanted to hear.
You just stomped on him. Go ahead.
I kind of care.
So while he's in the train world, which is sort of the real world in the past a little bit, he figures out that he's really dead. Because they've been telling him it's a secret mission.
Uh-huh.
So he figures that out eventually, and he convinces this other woman who's actually a soldier, like, soldier only deserves to die one death.
what? Wait, don't stop him. I like this.
Sorry. Uh-huh. Of course.
No, don't explain. Just keep going. Well,
the professor guy is obviously super evil, and he wants to keep Jake Gyllenhaal till the end of time because he's like, this could be the only one that works with the source code program. Do you know how much money you're going to cost us? And he, of course, walks with like a cane crutch thing.
Does he have a cat?
Don't stop him.
Although a skinless cat would be perfect. He was sort of like Dr. Evil a little bit. So Jake Gyllenhaal figures out he's really dead. He convinces the soldier to... He sends an email to her that she gets...
In Train World?
From the Train World, which is the real world, yeah, but in like a parallel universe. He sends her an email from a phone that he gets.
Across the universes?
Well, no, it happens to be the same universe, so she gets
it. He lakehoused that shit to her.
Yeah, he lakehoused it.
Future email box.
And she gets it. So this final twist I thought was kind of cool, and it said, hey, you don't know me, or I'm the dude that's half dead in the thing. And we're about to...
re me being half dead.
Yeah, we're about to save a train from exploding. If you have a chance to help me, please do it. And that's then it shows him going in at the very... At that point, the professor says, if only we have a perfect terrorist attack to work the source code program. But the train hasn't exploded yet. But as here's the best the best line of the movie is after they stop the train, they stop a nuclear explosion. So the train explodes, but they stop a nuclear explosion. And the professor says, this will be the best weapon against the war on terror. Is that a gong?
Uh-huh.
That was a long gong.
I just shoehorned that in there.
No.
Anyway. God, you know the fucked up thing is that makes me want to see that movie.
Speaking of movies.
It did have a final good twist.
Jesus, that is a long cricket sound effect.
It didn't leave me disappointed. I just
fucking cut off. Stop touching the computer.
It could have been better.
White, stop.
I wanted
to
talk about Water for Elephants. I saw
that's great.
Today.
Talk about it with your hand away from the machine.
What? I don't even know what that is.
It's the movie, you might have seen it advertised. It stars Robert Pattinson, joins the circus, and he meets...
Is he the vampire?
He meets Reese, yeah, he's the vampire in Twilight. But he doesn't look constipated / heartburned in this one, which is nice. He joins the circus, and he meets Reese Witherspoon, who's like the head horse lady. And
she has four legs?
No. She rides horses.
Is she a centaur?
She rides horses. No, she's not one of the freaks. And
I'm not going to lie. If she was a centaur, I'd want to see it a little bit more.
All right. Christoph Waltz plays the evil ringleader.
Does he get
to
talk a lot? Because they should just make him talk a bunch.
It's amazing. I actually liked it. I tweeted today. I was like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how embarrassed should I be for liking the new Robert Pattinson Reese Witherspoon movie?
That's a solid 9 plus.
You know what? I actually liked it. Say what you will about Reese Witherspoon's scary dagger chin and Robert Pattinson, but you set a movie in a circus in the 30s where it's all elephants and midgets with clown makeup and Christoph Waltz chewing scenery and tramps riding the rails and what you're saying elephants and tigers and lions. I cannot help liking a movie with that much gratuitous elephant footage.
Do you think tramps ever were nice, or were they just like stabbing each other real quiet?
No, these are nice tramps. They drink whiskey and they sing songs.
Yeah, I mean,
and then the elephant drinks whiskey too.
Was this the best movie for elephants since Ong Bak 2?
Yes. It was the best movie for... There was no flipping off the elephants. Yeah. But
for those of you that have not seen Ong Bak 2, just rent it for the... There's a scene near the end.
Is that where he throws the baby elephant? Yes. Oh, I hate it when he throws... I want him to punch him and then
Oh, the baby
so
elephant
hard.
Toss. Oh, that was awesome.
I'm glad that he gets kneed.
Let me explain the plot of Water for Elephants a little bit. So Robert Pattinson is a Cornell... educated veteran.
No spoilers, though, on this one.
Okay, no spoilers.
Really?
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, I don't care about source code. I want to see the movie about the elephant.
Robert Pattinson.
Really? Source code?
Robert Pattinson is really the son. Could you let me go? God damn it.
So, Brett, let's have this. Let's take this offline.
All right. I'm going to turn off my mic. Vince, you go ahead.
Sorry. So, Robert Pattinson is the son of poor Polish immigrants in the 30s, and he is a veterinary student at Cornell. But one day, on the day of his final exam...
Record scratch.
His parents get in a car accident, and so he leaves before he can finish his final exam to go identify his parents' body. And they're dead, and it turns out...
It's them.
And it turns
That'd
out...
That'd be quite a twist if it wasn't.
It turns out all this time, they'd mortgaged the house and the business to pay for his tuition, unbeknownst to him, his Cornell tuition. So now he's homeless. His parents are dead. He can't go back to Cornell because he didn't finish his final exam. Or he can go back, but he chooses not to because it's crazy like that.
Yeah, well, hey, that's traumatic.
I used to be a vampire. You don't know what it was like.
He delivers the famous line, I don't know if I found that train or if the train found me. And then he joins the circus train, and he meets Reese Witherspoon and Christoph Waltz there. And Christoph Waltz is like the scary...
Did this used to be a book?
It did used to be a book. Have you read it?
No, but I've heard of it.
And so
used to past tense.
Books don't exist anymore. Now they're just beamed in your eyes.
And he meets Christoph Waltz, who's married to Reese Witherspoon, who's the head attraction. She rides around the big white horses. And Christoph Waltz is doing that thing where he gets really angry and he does something super bad. And you're like, oh my god, he's such a monster. And then in the next scene, he's all apologetic and sorry, like a wife beater. And
he's just a heartwarming psychopath.
Yeah, I can't be mad at you. And he does that like a billion times throughout the movie.
That's all I want to see him do forever.
Really awesome. He's so good. And so the circus gets this elephant, and of course,
Bring this up, Vince. Of course,
Christoph Waltz is the bad guy. So his way of dealing with the elephant is with this bull stick, which is a big stick with a pointy hook on the end. And he's always jabbing the elephant. He's like, "No, you got to show that elephant who's boss." And then he just like stabs it in the side
mean
a bunch.
To the elephant?
He's really mean to the elephant. So of course, there's conflict between him and Robert Pattinson, who's like the horse whisperer.
He's nice
gentle,
to the elephant.
Gentle veterinarian. And they don't know how to get this elephant to do what they want it to.
What do they want it to do?
They just want it to stand up on its hind legs and let Reese Witherspoon ride on its head and not run away. At one point, the elephant gets loose and it runs through the town and it starts eating cabbages off the Italian immigrants' cabbage stand. And so he's like, "Hey, why did the elephant eat my cabbage? Hey! Someone to pick up. You going to pay for the cabbage? Hey, Mr. Elephant,
hey. Cost some money.
Mamma mia. You elephant ate all of my cabbage. What am I going to do? Oh. Hey, where Giuseppe going to replace all of this cabbage?
Mr. Circus Man, you owe me so much money.
You make a mama cry. She don't got the cabbage for the pizza. How mama going to make the pizza without the cabbage?
How are we going to shred the cabbage? How are we going to shred the cabbage?
I would buy a cabbage pizza if they just told it to me like that.
Mamma mia, what is Giuseppe going to do without the cabbage?
Just hey, Mr. Elephant, the cabbage is not free.
If they only pitched it like that.
You to pay for the elephant cabbage. It don't grow on the tree.
It is not free. Money does not grow on tree.
Giuseppe and Mama got to pick the cabbage out of the ground all day. Her back hurts so bad.
We need to save it for the surgery.
So they don't know what to do with the elephant. he doesn't. Robert Pattinson has never worked with elephants before.
No way.
And
but
so,
he instinctively knows, right?
And so,
sort of like the elephant.
Christoph Waltz is the evil guy, and he's always throwing people off the train to save money. Just what? throwing freaks off the train. That's why this movie's so good. At one point, he beats the shit out of the elephant, and the poor elephant's laying on its side with all the stab wounds in its side. And there's this dramatic scene where Robert Pattinson and then the tramp hobo with the bottle of whiskey, and then a midget comes in with this midget comes in a police uniform with clown makeup on. And those are the three people standing there dramatically looking at the poor elephant. So anyway, they can't figure out how to tell this elephant what to do. And the only way that Robert Pattinson knows, because he's old school, is just to stab it in the side with this big, sharp stick.
Christoph.
And, yeah, sorry. Only way Christoph's always stabbing the big elephant with the stick. And the climactic moment.
Don't spoil it.
I'm not spoiling it.
Are you spoiling it?
Is when Robert Pattinson realizes that the elephant speaks Polish. It's a Polak elephant. So if he just talks to the elephant in Polish, the elephant will do what he says. See, that was the problem.
I want to punch you right now.
I swear to God, this is a plot point.
I know, but that makes me mad that you liked a movie that involved a plot point.
It was
like
ridiculous.
That.
Dude.
I like that it's a Polak elephant.
Dude. Bro. There was an elephant doing handstands.
You know,
there was lions and Christoph. There was Christoph Waltz chewing scenery, hobos, midgets in clown makeup, and elephants. I don't care what you put in a movie. I'm going to see
sold.
That. I am sold.
Scientifically, all elephants used to be Polish. It's fucking science, man.
No, that's true. It's science and it's evolution.
Well, it's both combined.
So, therefore...
Is that a theatrical release movie?
It is coming out this weekend. The release.
How do you see these movies early?
He gets press passes.
I'm on the list of very important persons. Hey!
I got to go see the movie for free! Mamma mia, I don't have time to make a pizza.
Giuseppe don't got the movie to see for the... He don't have the money. The elephant eat all of my cabbage.
But that's why I need to go for free.
Mamma mia, how am I going to see the movie with no money for to buy the cabbage?
So, yeah, this weekend's releases.
I just love the cabbage pizza so bad.
This weekend's releases are Water for Elephants, Tyler Perry's Madea's Big Happy Family, and African Cats.
Ooh.
African Cats sounds good.
It's gonna be tough. It's going to be tough to decide which of those to see.
But I got to be honest, I kind of really liked Water for Elephants.
Wasn't there something good coming out this week?
Nope. Water for Elephants.
What's coming out next week?
I don't know, man. Jesus.
Fuck. I really want an excuse to see a movie.
The elephant, he ate my calendar. What am I going to do?
I don't even know what day it is.
All right, well.
Oh, I also saw Hesher again for the second time today.
I don't even know what that is.
Did you? Well, don't even talk about it. I'm really excited to see it. Did you like the recut better?
I did. I couldn't identify exactly what was different about it. I know.
Is that coming out? I think that's what's coming out next week,
I think,
right?
It's coming out two
that's
weeks.
That's what I'm
I
want to
say 2 weeks. Let me look it up here. It's probably different. I know it's not coming out till May in certain areas.
They didn't do a great job editing the trailer. It wasn't horrible. But
which one did you see? Because there was one that wasn't.
The one on Apple.
Oh, I also just realized that. Did you ever see Animal Kingdom?
No.
I didn't realize that Hesher was co-written by the Animal Kingdom guy.
Like Mutual of Omaha Animal Kingdom?
No, the Australian gangster movie. I just saw it the other day. It's really good.
Really? Huh.
Yeah. So it's coming out May 13th. Hesher's coming out May 13th here. I think that's where it's... I don't think it's getting a wide, wide release, but that is when it's coming out. And it is damn good. I don't want to say much more than that because Brett is like, oh, I don't say much more than that.
Because every time you start the broadcast, you're like, you're going to fucking love Hesher.
Sorry.
And so I don't really want you to fucking blow that shit.
All right. You're going to hate it. It sucks. It's terrible. No, you probably will hate it. It's kind of like indie movie. You know, you're not going to like it at all. Terrible.
All right.
Seriously, though, Reese Witherspoon dancing on top of an elephant. I didn't think that would be a movie that I would like. That'd be the first thing that I would want to make fun of.
Sounds like it's already in your top 10 of the year.
Hey, you know what's a good segue from that? Play your circus music. We'll bring on the intern.
Oh, right.
Yeah, let's bloop in Wilson. We're going
to
interview him.
To tell him what music we're going to play?
Well, let's bloop in Wilson and see if...
Were you going to surprise them? that like they're not expecting.
All right, let's bloop in Wilson.
Here come the elephant.
See those guys?
To the back flips off the elephant. Monkeys are everywhere dancing around. Clown cars. Tigers.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Who's this?
This is Wilson.
Wilson, so you want to be a broadcast intern?
Question one answered correctly.
Huh?
Question two.
Yes.
So you want to be a broadcast intern, you tell us.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I've listened to a lot of these broadcasts. You know, I figure I could do that.
You can't. You're wrong.
No, I mean, I drink a lot of Four Loko.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. That's good.
On to something.
Okay. So, question. Why is the name on the top of your emails Joseph, and yet you sign them with Wilson?
That's because that's my first name, Joseph is, but I go by Wilson. And plus, you know, everyone always asks me if it's like Joseph Smith, the Mormon prophet, like if I'm Mormon or something, but no.
Did your parents name you after the founder of Mormonism?
No, I'm actually the third, so there's two Joseph Wilsons above me. So, I mean, I don't know, maybe one of them was named after, I don't know.
What do you think separates you from a soccer ball with a smiley face on it?
Isn't it a volleyball?
Yeah.
Oh, boom.
Suck on that,
boom.
Vince.
Man, I just got served. I wish I had a button for that.
Of getting served?
If I had an audio version of the Bill Cosby shaking his head, I would totally do that to myself right now.
If you were to serve Vince, what sort of dance move would it be?
Oh shit!
That might be the right answer.
It's okay. It's a trick. It's a trick question. There's no right answer.
That's false.
Okay, good.
The right answer is the Bernie.
What's the Bernie?
When you do that, like Burn, where you do the Weekend at Bernie's dance. You haven't seen that video?
It's like, man. You do it.
Okay.
You do
all
like
right.
Dead man sort of thing.
So Wilson, you go to Auburn. Is this correct?
I sure do.
Are you from the Alabama as well?
I'm from Georgia, actually.
Oh. Brett would like to know how the fuck you plan on running across the street to get him cigarettes if you live in goddamned Alabama. That's a direct quote from Brett's email to me.
I mean, I don't know. I could mail you some cigarettes.
Boom! Correct answer. they don't have cigarette tax. Right? The South
true.
Has great prices on cigarettes.
Wilson, what is your favorite type of porn and why?
I don't know. I'm pretty straightforward, pretty standard. You don't really. I don't know. It's probably not a very good answer.
Brett only likes the ones where the girls are not enjoying it.
If one of your jobs.
Oh, yeah, the one where they're not enjoying. Yeah, the one where they're debased the most.
Yes.
I love that that's become
he,
my.
He did remember that. That's nice. But another sub question: If one of your duties as intern included searching depraved types of porn for awesome sound effects, would you deem this a valuable educational experience?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it is the internet after all.
That's definitely correct.
Okay. And if you were forced to watch only the type of porn that you find personally disturbing for a period of time, you know, like maybe like the kind Brett watches, do you think that would change you? Or would you just go back to what you liked originally afterwards?
Let the darkness in, Wilson.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I'd be changed on a fundamental cellular level.
And it's, okay, like a dance with the devil, you know, the devil mm-hmm. changes you kind of thing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, As an Auburn student, would you do everything in your power to allow us to live vicariously through you while you do awesome college stuff?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you frequently do awesome college stuff?
Well, I'm currently in my living room drinking Four Loko, talking on the phone. Is that? I mean, that's pretty awesome to me. Nah, I'm just playing. Yeah, I do pretty awesome stuff.
So what's your favorite Four Loko flavor?
Grape.
I don't know that I've had grape.
I don't.
I've had the watermelon, and that kind of just tastes like a Jolly Rancher.
I don't think I've had grape. I mean, that might have to
with
be.
With the blue kind's the best, right?
No, I like lemonade.
Isn't that the blue?
No. No, there's blue raspberry. Maybe that's.
Oh, yeah.
That one punches you right in the tongue.
That one's. That
right
one.
Cockles.
Pretty bad. Well, okay, so what do you think? What are your qualifications as intern? And keep in mind, there are no other candidates.
Okay. I have a film drunk shirt.
Boom. Oh.
That is. All right. That is.
You should throw a Brahm in there just to fuck with people.
If I had it in front of me.
Make
I
up
would.
Your own film drunk question. Brahm.
What is the worst place that you've worked?
I worked for a summer camp back in Georgia when I was, back when I was in high school. I worked as like a summer job, and I don't really like kids. And I was kind of like a counselor or whatever, and that was pretty shitty. They were just, always being jerks, throwing stuff at you. I didn't like it.
What kind of things did they throw?
Did they throw feces at you?
All the time. Sticks. Just sticks, rocks, feces, you name it.
Were you locked in a cage for their amusement?
Well, they say sticks and stones will break your bones.
But feces will always smell.
Yes.
Oh.
What is your favorite...
Just leave it at that.
Who was your favorite broadcast guest so far?
Favorite broadcast guest?
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, I guess does Lindy West count as a guest? Because she keeps coming back on. I like her as a recurring.
Sure, that
sort
counts.
Of.
Yeah, that counts.
It's really more of like a recurring theme. Right.
She's
an undercurrent.
She's a honorary co-host.
Okay, I guess like other than her, I'd have to say Armand White Hammond.
Nice.
All right, well, ass kissing, that's good. All right, I like that.
Has a shirt, likes Vince accents.
Question, who would
be... I'm doing what I can to get this job.
Who would be your dream broadcast guest? What would be your idea of like a huge get?
Steven Seagal.
Okay. He was quick
Boom.
With that one.
That's good.
He just nailed me. It was like he kept track of space and time so poorly that he heard the question before I was even done with it.
He manipulates space and time.
He made you ask the question.
Can you manipulate space and time?
I just did, didn't I?
Oh. Touche. Do you know any HTML? Could you make sound effects on the computer that I could use that I didn't have to switch tabs on my computer?
HTML. I'm not too familiar with HTML.
Before you got blooped in, Vince was like, oh God, like these browser windows are so far away on the success and failure sounds. Why don't we just have the intern make this on a page? I don't think that's a thing people can do.
Well, you don't think that would be a useful project?
I'm not saying it's not useful. It's just difficult.
What do you know? What do you know from interns?
Hey. Oh, I just draw squirrels. I don't know about this. Sometimes I don't think about anybody making the sound effects because I don't really like sound effects too much. You guys? Hey.
They confuse me.
Hey.
I'm like, who's making them sounds? If how quick do you type? Vince may want to yell into the phone while you type his blog posts.
I can type pretty quickly. I could probably keep up.
If a girl sexts you pictures of herself, would you be willing to share those?
Oh, you mean like with you guys or like with the site?
No,
like
with us.
With us. We don't care about the viewers. Fuck them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't care. Sure.
So, okay, so for personal use. All right. Ben, go back and edit this in case he gets
sexed. Yeah, we don't want to put him out on blast like that.
Yeah, no.
So we want you to keep getting those. Do you receive sexts?
We hear that's hot with the kids these days.
Is that the question? Have I received sex?
With the T at the end.
Like sexy.
Someone has sexed
you. Yeah, I got you.
Oh, booyah.
Nice. College girls do that now, right? Because that's what I like to imagine sometimes.
Yeah, I guess.
If they didn't, would you be willing to keep up the illusion that they did so that I could think about it later?
Absolutely.
Okay, fair enough. That's all we ask.
Just Tell us sweet, beautiful lies about college.
Brett had a couple more questions. They didn't really make sense to me when you sent them.
All right, let's see him.
His question was, why is it burnt?
No, you got to ask him in order.
Okay.
You mean okay.
I hope I got the fucking quotes right. That's going to be bad if I didn't.
I don't even know what these quotes are.
Oh, really?
Who run Bartertown?
Who runs Bartertown?
Yeah.
Ben knows.
I have no clue. I don't know what that means.
Tina Turner does.
Whatever her name is. I didn't know the fucking answer to that question.
Master Blaster.
All right.
Master Blaster.
Oh. All right. Master Blaster. I got you.
Conan, what is best in life?
Oh, my God. I know what that is, like, to hear the lamentations of their women. Like,
good
to
enough.
Dry.
Good enough.
Yeah, I can't recite it.
I'm going to accept that. The judges.
Yeah, that is a win because I wouldn't have been able to answer that. Why is it burned?
I don't know that one.
That's from the fucking. It's yours.
I'm thinking like Wicker Man with Nick Cage. But that's how to get burned. And so I don't know.
I haven't actually seen the movie.
You got served. Brett got served. That was that's two.
I was kind of hoping you'd fill in the correct quote since I haven't seen the movie.
That's two questions that he served us on.
Oh shit! I saw the original Wicker Man though.
Did you?
I heard
it's actually good in a good way.
It's good in a good way. And it's weird in a 70s way.
All right, last question. Sorry, go ahead.
What?
Never mind, don't worry about it.
Last question. Remember when I said I'd kill you last?
I lied.
Boom!
All right, so those were good answers.
You know what's fucked up? I asked those in the office when I interview candidates, too, for, like, graphic designer positions.
Uh-huh.
Man, I'm surprised I'm not fired. That is not an appropriate thing.
What do they say? What are the people there? Are you interviewing them yourself?
Yeah, at the time. There's multiple people that come in, but at some point I'm alone with the interviewee.
Oh, man.
I fully exploit that.
Okay, take off your pants first.
Oh, did you ever see
it was 2 + 2 = 5? No. What if I sock you in the belly?
Just like that entire scene from 1984. did you ever see In the Company of Men?
Yes.
Yeah, where he makes him put the balls on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what the hell was I going to ask? Who's your favorite Golden Girl?
The dead one.
Okay. I believe there's more
it's
than
of
one.
A safe choice.
Yeah, I believe there's more than one dead one at this point.
What is your favorite Arnold movie?
Favorite Arnold movie? Jingle All the Way? No, it's probably Conan. The first one, Conan the Barbarian.
Fair.
I think it's correct.
I'll accept that. So you're okay with, you're in Alabama, so you're 3 hours ahead of us. You're okay.
2 hours.
2 hours. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That's three. That's,
we're in daylight.
For future reference, we're going to want you to not correct us this much.
Okay.
So like if we're wrong, I would say correct us about like 60 to 70% of the time. But if we get over like 80, 85%, that's going to get annoying.
And do it like a good 3 hours after we say it. So we're not like in the fit of rage that we usually are.
Yeah.
All right.
So being 2 hours ahead of time, you're okay with, you know, being up late and, you know, if Ben calls you up late at night and just wants someone to
talk
to.
I'm crying because they're making me edit the Frogcast.
Being from Georgia, how do you feel about working with Jews?
I can deal with it. Yeah.
You can tolerate
whatever.
It?
That's correct. You're not supposed to like it. You're supposed to tolerate it.
Will you tolerate his miserly ways?
Sure.
Will you tolerate me forcing you to send all the pennies that you find under your couch? It costs more for the stamp.
Sure.
It costs more for the stamp than the pennies are worth, but I love to chew on them.
He loves those jingly envelopes in the mail.
Oh, it makes me so happy.
He grinds down his teeth, but he can't stop chewing them.
That's on My Strange Addiction.
It's like his gold canine keeps growing. He's like a hamster or a beaver.
My Strange Addiction, I eat coins.
He has a copper gizzard right beneath his horn.
He needs to grind up his food with money.
No, I've got like a pepper shaker filled with like pennies and coins, and I sprinkle them on my food.
Okay, Wilson, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Where do I see myself in 5 years? I don't know. drug addiction.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I honestly don't know.
What year?
Know, maybe.
What year are you in school?
I'm a senior.
All right. So are you graduating in about a month?
No. I'm actually, because, you know, doing these summer internships, I have to have that to graduate. So technically I'll be graduating in August if everything goes according to plan.
Oh, wow.
So that is incorrect.
You're putting Vince in the way of your college graduation? You know that could be a horrific mistake.
I guess. I didn't really think about it until just now.
Vince can't even get to the interview with his hero on time, and you're going to put your higher education in his hands.
Hey. If there's one thing I learned in 100 grand of graduate school debt, it's how to write a fake internship form.
Maybe that's what I'll learn from you, is how to write a fake internship form.
Well, it's a valuable skill, I would have to say.
It's worth $100,000.
What are your greatest strengths and your weakest weaknesses?
Oh, man. I get that question. My greatest strengths.
Your strongest strength.
Yes, yeah, your strongest
strength.
Lead with your strongest strength
and end with your weakest weakness.
If you have a weakest strength, you can also tell us that.
Oh.
And a strongest weakness.
Oh, it has to end on knee ligaments. No matter what.
Let him answer.
I don't know. In terms of stronger strengths, I guess I can type fast. I'm a pretty hard worker. I don't know.
Okay, hard worker, that's good.
Did you say something about knee ligaments?
Yeah.
About them being loose.
Is that a weakness of yours?
Or a strength?
That's one of my weaker strengths.
I was thinking that's more of a stronger weakness.
Oh, well, what's the difference?
What is your weakest weakness now?
The weakest weakness. Apparently, not good at answering questions like this. I don't really know. I don't like that question on applications, because I never really know what to say. Because if you say like, oh, you know, you always kind of come off as like sounding fake or phony, because you never really want to list like what your real weakness is.
Constantly masturbating at work.
I think Nick Kroll, my favorite Nick Kroll bit is where he's like, gets that question in the job interview. He's like, my biggest weakness is, I guess, that I don't really have any strengths.
I indiscriminately punch coworkers from time to time.
Sometimes I'm worried I rock out far too hard.
Well, Wilson, what should we know about you that would make you a muscular intern?
A muscular intern?
Did you write that?
No, I didn't write that. I was just improvising. Just putting some words together in my mind.
A muscular intern.
What would make you a good intern? Why should we pick you out of all these zero other candidates?
That kind of puts me ahead of the pack, I guess. There being no other alternatives, that, and like I said, I have a film drunk shirt.
Arithmetic and pandering, I like it.
Fair enough. Well, Wilson, we'll have to get back to you. We have a lot of other resumes to go through.
And Brendan's wasn't even here. He's sick as a dog.
And thanks for talking to us. And fingers crossed, buddy.
Thanks, man. It's good talking to you guys.
You too.
All right.
Well, thanks to Wilson / Joseph.
/ who knows?
Yeah.
And maybe you'll hear from him again.
He corrected us maybe a little too much.
I've got high hopes.
He was on the ball.
He got the questions I cared about,
and
right?
He's from Georgia, and yet he seems okay with Jews.
Tolerates.
Tolerates. Which is correct.
That's the right answer.
I'm always a fan of the Southern accent too.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's just so much more friendly and just warms the heart.
Makes you feel at home.
Yeah.
So speaking of Southern accents, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to check out Yoko Ono's Twitter.
Does she have a cool sign-off like Charlie Sheen or...
or Perry Grip.
Or
Perry Grip signs his emails, yeah, with an exclamation point, which is
that
pretty
is awesome.
Much the coolest thing.
I was thinking
ever.
Also, what's Sly's sign-off?
Oh, keep punching?
Yeah, on every one, does he do
never.
That?
No, oh. It's just
never
one of his phrases.
Stop punching. If it's your wife, and if it's your girlfriend.
You know what's sad? I think I chased Sly off Twitter because he doesn't hardly tweet anymore. I think it was because I was, like, every time he would say funny things, I would make a big deal about it.
Totally, it was probably
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no, you definitely have an effect on Sylvester Stallone's life.
I would say
I would not be surprised.
I mean, crushing blow to him. I mean, I don't know how he trains.
It was like a Clubber Lang punch to his face.
I don't even know how he punches meat anymore.
I'm just
because
saying
of you.
It's quite possible that he had a publicist who was like, "Hey, people are making fun of you."
No, I think he lives in a
which is
yeah,
sad because
celebrity bubble.
I really, really liked his tweet.
I mean, you watched Expendables with us. We were there in the theater with you. He doesn't give a shit what anyone.
By
thinks.
The way, talk about crashing and burning in about 2 weeks. Is Charlie Sheen even still alive?
He's still doing shows, apparently.
Yeah, but people were booing him and leaving.
I don't know why he's surprised at heckling. I mean, the whole point of Charlie Sheen at this point in his life is that he was fodder for people to talk about and make fun of.
What? My buddy at work had a really good summation of how the internet destroys everyone it focuses Shiva eye on, right? Like, it looks at you, and you are a god for a second.
This is a movie
alive.
Podcast. Can we call it a Sauron eye?
Yeah, all right. Sauron eye. Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that. He said, Rebecca Black has just paid for college and earned herself a lifetime of never being able to talk to anyone at a bar.
I don't know about that. I kind of like Rebecca Black. I gotta be honest.
Like in a dirty way?
No, just like I like to defend her because she seems nice. And to be honest,
but that's what made her famous. She's the imbecile in front of. She's the dumbass that's now part of the machine, right? Like that's the whole
no,
point. That's why she's
not
famous.
Really. She's not the dumbass.
It's
though.
It's a bad song that's made good by. Machinery and everyone's like it's the end of modernism.
I would take that song over Kesha any day of the week. And Kesha's
yeah,
like
because Kesha's not like a delightful idiot. That's the whole point. She's innocent, right? But still yeah. a gear in the machine.
Hey guys.
Yeah, I get that, but I feel like people are pinning the death of pop music on her. And
no,
I'm not even being ironic when I say I would rather listen to that than about 90% of pop music. And speaking of which, Ariane Celeste, the UFC ring girl.
The good-looking one or the bad-looking one?
She's the good-looking one. She's not that great-looking, but you know, she's by far the better-looking compared to Shondella.
Oh, I think...
They have a new one, too. There's a third one.
The third one's probably more attractive, but yeah, Ariane Celeste is very attractive in a big fake boobs ring girl sort of way.
Why, is she being racist here? She looks like she's about to be racist. This is the sort of lighting you get when someone's about to be racist.
No, my segue was because she put out a single, and this to me was a great example of why Rebecca Black is taking a lot of crap when, in reality, the Rebecca Black song... is much better than this song. Let's just listen to this.
That's so fucking loud.
Sorry.
I wish I could hear now. It's like you burn your tongue drinking coffee.
It's called Fight to Love Me, which is also cute because she's a UFC ring girl.
Got like remix trumpets. Video is just stills of her.
Yeah, it's not really it's not a real video.
Can you make it stop?
I don't like this at all. Hey, you look at me, you turn this off.
Yeah, that's about as much as I can take too.
Yeah, see?
I don't know how that's a defense of anything, though. That's just...
I'm just saying I could listen to Rebecca Black 10 times before I could listen to that song for more than 40 seconds.
That's not a defense to anything.
Why is that not a defense to anything?
It's like one of the logical fallacies. It's like, well, this is worse. It's like, yeah, it's worse at the end. It's not a defense of anything.
It's more...
Hey.
Well, people are pissed that she's making all this. People are pissed.
Also a logical fallacy. That is ad hominem, all right? You're attacking the person.
People are pissed that she's making money. It's like Kesha's making money. Kesha's 1,000 times worse.
Yeah, but that was, wait.
And someone
different
honestly
different
legitimately
point.
Liked Kesha, which kills me because she's. Al-Qaeda. She's terrible. She's fucking ugly. Her music sucks. Her music makes me want to go Virginia Tech. Her fucking lyrics.
What does that mean?
What?
Virginia Tech?
You want to go to Virginia Tech? I think they have a great program.
Yeah, they got a great program in murdering people because Kesha's music sucks.
Oh, you want to go Virginia Tech, not go to Virginia
yes,
Tech.
Yes, yes.
Oh,
what
gotcha.
Does Yoko Ono have
That's
to say about all
dark.
This?
We'll save Yoko Ono for next week.
Oh, okay.
Oh, did you get angry there? At the end?
No, I just thought we went a while. All right, we got a long show.
We had
already.
A big week.
We had a big week.
So, you guys, if you have any more stories of corporate shaming and soul crushing, we would love to hear those. I'd love to dedicate an entire show to various methods that your companies have for crushing your soul and drowning your spirit,
or just
in Kool-Aid.
Just some of your favorite ways in which people pretend to work and when they're in reality just wasting time.
Yes. What's your favorite phrase, Ben?
Well, just so busy.
Yeah, like if you were someone that worked at a big corporation who didn't really do much, what would you say?
Well, you have to ask me a question. What's going on?
Ben, what are you... What's going on, man? What are you up to this weekend?
So busy. I have been so... I don't even know. I haven't been able to think about the weekend because I've been so busy.
What have you been working on, buddy?
Well, mostly I've been in a lot of meetings. It's mostly meetings.
But do you think... Do they need to be asked what they've been up to tell you that they're busy?
They want
to
tell you. Yeah, they either volunteer, but if you ask them, they want to tell you.
Hey, so Ben, I was fucking my wife in the ass this weekend.
Oh,
and,
my God. I've been so busy.
Weird.
Yeah. Really busy. I didn't even have time for lunch. I had a lunch meeting.
That's interesting that you volunteer that information.
Yeah, so busy.
I went to...
How do you even have time to have sex with your wife? I'm too busy to do that.
Oh, okay. I see your angle here.
Yeah, too busy.
Hey, Ben, what's going on? What's up this morning?
I was so busy right now. I don't have time for the chit-chat.
Didn't even let me
but
finish
anyway,
my...
anyway, let's chit-chat for a while.
I had a story... I was just going to tell you about this Giants game I went to over the weekend.
Oh,
and I saw...
I feel like those people are also one-uppers, so they're like, oh, yeah, I went to a game. I was in the luxury box.
Meetings in the luxury box.
So busy. So busy there.
Oh, I had a business meeting in the luxury box.
On my phone the whole time. Meetings.
Yeah, meetings and boning.
I couldn't even enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, because I had a meeting.
I can't enjoy anything anymore.
No, I had a conference call during the game.
Hey, man, I ran a marathon this weekend.
Oh, yeah, I ran a marathon a couple weeks ago, too. It's pretty fun. I don't even know how I find the time since I'm so busy.
Wow. That's starting to come natural to you.
The other thing you need to do is sort of show off your expense reports. And,
yeah.
And it's...
It, oh, yeah, that's a business like you're, lunch. You're, that's a business
like
lunch.
Like you're proving how much you charge to the company?
Basically,
sort of
like it's a good thing.
Penis measuring?
Like it's a good thing.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like look at how much... I spent.
Hey, so Ben, what's going on, man? This weekend?
Oh,
this
well,
weekend
right now,
was a pretty big
I'm
weekend.
So
for me,
busy.
Yeah.
Oh no, I went out of town. But look at this expense report. Look at how many thousands of dollars are
even,
on my credit card.
You didn't even let me. I was.
There's no way that
was,
whatever you're doing
I was
is more
say,
important than what I've been doing.
I was going to tell you what I was. That's cool though. Would you expense reports? Oh,
look at how many thousands of dollars. That's probably more than you made.
Oh, you must be real busy.
I'm busy and important. Busy and important.
Oh, God, I'm going to make you business cards that say that.
Busy and important?
Yeah.
Oh, please
and
do.
Then I'm going to make Vince a web page that plays the sound that says you saying that.
That's fine.
Busy and important.
Let's busy and important.
That's meta.
It is. Let's, Brett, you want to take us on out of here?
So, hey, so you guys, send us your stories of corporate shaming. Maybe we'll have intern Wilson to collect them and, you know.
Oh, God, he can sort through our emails.
Sort through them. Do whatever interns do.
We get like 4.
You're going to have to figure out what interns do.
Yeah.
We should get them to teach our elephant Polish.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. I've been wondering what to do with that elephant. It's getting skinny in that garage.
It really is.
It looks malnourished.
What do they eat?
I don't know. I just keep stabbing him to get him to stand back up.
Feed him with a cabbage.
He seems like he...
Why don't you like cabbage pizza?
Hey, which one of these elephants ate all of my cabbage? What is a papa going to do?
Hold on,
the papa.
Let me drop an octave. Are we done?
Yeah, frogcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. If you made it this far, as
always, good night and good
chins. That's very, very confident ending. If you made it this far.